All right, good morning. So I see everybody patiently waiting. I'm all about getting started as soon as possible because you know what that means? I get to preach longer. No. Good. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. They're all well rested. So I was going to, well, what is, because it is Mother's Day, let's see. Let's see. I think we're outnumbered. All right, I got to change my message. I had this really good, like, I thought this was a great opportunity, right? I get up here, I'm like, all right, I could preach on Mother's Day, and I could tell it the way I think the mother should be, right? And then I was going to try to find some scriptures to prove it, you know, like the fact, no, I won't get into it. I'm sorry, I'm outnumbered. I'd get in big trouble. I'm only kidding. But my wife's not here, so I could probably get away with it, but she's the one that needs to hear it. All right, let me ask you all this. It is Mother's Day, so what does the ultimate mother look like, right? It's going to be, we think of it as somebody that's caring, somebody that's giving, somebody that cooks. Not my kid's mother. That's fine. I love to cook. Somebody that's loving, right? What else can we think of mothers? I'm thinking of my own mother, you know, somebody that, you know, likes the kisses and the hugs, you know, somebody that, you know, likes to pull out those embarrassing pictures of you, you know, when you bring that girlfriend home, right? That's what my mom did, you know. You bring a girlfriend home and then hair come out, the most embarrassing pictures and everything when I was a kid and telling all these stories, right? And my mom, to this day, she still says, where's your coat? How come you don't have a coat on? It's cold outside. Mom, I'm 37. Yeah, I think I can handle myself, right? And she's still telling me I gotta eat my vegetables. We go over there every other Monday, right? And it's just like, it doesn't matter how old we are. And it's like, so we can almost picture that as the super mom, right? So I thought that was great, and I thought maybe I could preach about that this morning. But I'm like, we are in church. I should make it somewhat biblical, right? So is what I want to do this morning is I want to provoke us, or the mothers specifically here, or, you know, the grandmothers or the mothers-to-be. Do we have any mothers? Yeah, we got some mothers-to-be here someday, right? To be a believing, a praying, and a promise-keeping mother of God, all right? To be a believing, a praying, and a, gotta look at my notes, promise-keeping mother of God. You'll have to excuse me. I just kind of put this together a little bit last night because I'm back and forth. Do I want to carry my message from last week? There was a part two to my message last week, and I'm like, man, it is Mother's Day. Mel's like, you should preach a Mother's Day sermon. I'm like, all right. You know, so here we go. So I may have to look down at my notes a little bit more than usual. But, all right, Lord, let's ask you into the service this morning, Lord. We ask you for this church, for this area, for this region, through the world, Lord, that you just bless each and every single mother out there, Lord. How we, as a husband, myself, and my mother, how much I've looked to them, how much I owe to them, Lord, for everything they have done, Lord. May your peace be upon them this morning, and may this word be an encouragement to each and one of them all. So, we're going to talk about one specific mother this morning, all right, in the Bible. And I like to call it, title of this message, I couldn't think of a title, so I'm going to call it Supermom, all right? And we're going to talk about Hannah, the ideal mother, all right? She takes up like a whole chapter and not even a half in the Bible. But we're going to talk to her because she is like the ideal mother in the Bible right here that we're talking about. You know, some of us may think, well, Mary, because of Jesus, this and that, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of like, you know, that's a given, right? So I'm going to talk about a different one. We're going to talk about Hannah. Now, Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and that's where we're going to be this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you want to flip to there while I just ramble on for a minute. All right, she was the mother of Samuel. Now, Samuel was the last judge in the Old Testament. He was, like, you go through the book of Judges where God anointed and raised up all these people that weren't even Christian, that weren't even for God, but God needed somebody to take care of the people for all these things they were doing. And Samuel became the last judge. He was the last judge and probably the greatest judge. And Samuel not only was a judge, but he was also a priest, he was a prophet, he was a counselor, and Samuel also anointed the very two first kings that we had, which would be Saul. And did I say that right? Saul. There you go. Thank you. And I picked, you'll see, we're going to get into a chapter here. And it's got all these crazy words. And I don't know why. Every time I preach, I pick out all these crazy names. I'm like, can't I keep it simple? I have enough trouble just speaking. Right? And also David. So, I mean, we're talking about David, the greatest king that's lived. Right? He was the king and everything came from David. Right? Well, here was Samuel. Now, we're going to talk about his mother and what he did. So, in 1 Samuel 1, we're going to walk right through this step by step. I'm going to try to make this quick. I'm not going to try to ramble on too much. I'm just going to let God's word preach itself. Here we go. So Samuel 1, and let's see. Verse 1 says there was a man. Let's jump down to verse 2. Elkanah, had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So here we go. We got this guy, Elkanah, right? And I hope I'm getting these words right. I looked up last night on the, what do you call it, the euphonics or something like that of how to pronounce words or whatever. And I'm like, man, I can't remember this. Man, these words, why can't they make them easier, right? So anyhow, here we go. I'm rambling on, and we just added like 2 minutes. All right, so he had two wives. Now, back in the Old Testament, now we don't, like, nowadays, we don't have, you know, we don't practice polygamy, right? That was like an old thing that they did. But back then, he had two wives. He had his main wife, Hannah, and then he had Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children. Hannah did not. Now, we see this throughout other characters we have in the Bible, too. And so Peninnah was kind of the one that was looked upon, and we'll see that here in a minute. Let me not get ahead of myself. So let's jump down to verse 3. So each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli. I'm not even going to try it. Hoppy and Venus and Venus. I don't know. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. Now, it says here, that's the way, but when they say only one of the choice, the top choice, some versions say a double serving of meat. So Hannah got the best stuff, all right? Peninnah, his other wife, got meat. The kids got meat, but Hannah got the best. That's what he says right here. And we'll find out why. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah, make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah and went on to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. All right, so here it is. First of all, we start out with Elkanah. He's the husband. He has his two wives here, right? Peninnah, who had the children, Hannah did not have the children, right? But yet, he loved Hannah more than Peninnah. All right, so here's the story. Here's the picture that we started. Now, here's Hannah, who was loved more, got more extra meat, right? But yet she had no children. So how do you feel? Back in these days right here, it was an embarrassment, one, to the husband to not have children. Because the way they thought of children back in the Old Testament times, there we even think of it nowadays this little bit too, that you have kids, that they're going to help us work, and then when we get older, they're going to take care of us, right? It's one way we kind of think of it. Well, this was actually what happened back in the old days. That's what kids were. They were raised up to work in society and then take care of their old dying parents, right? It's just the way it should be, right? So here was, she didn't have children, though. She couldn't have children. It says in some versions that the Lord closed her womb. So she felt very depressed, you know, and here it is. She gets made fun for this also, right? An embarrassment. She was considered a failure because she couldn't have kids. Now, she was actually part, now we think of this, it's like, why would he do this to her? Now, here's this, you know, wonderful woman and everything else, but why would the Lord do this to her? Now, we got to always remember that the Lord always has some type of plan, right? There's always something that God wants to do in each one of us. We go through different trials, you know, we go through different situations in our life, and it's like, why is this happening? Why is this happening, God? Why did this happen to this person, God? Why does this happen? Well, God has some sort of plan, and this is part one of this, right? You have to be a believing, trusting mother. That's the first thing I want to provoke you on this morning. And here it is, all right? A woman that had no children, right? And here is the other wife has all these children and everything else, but my husband loved me more. God, why are you doing this to me? All right? And we don't see her. It just says that she gets sad and she was cut to tears because she got made fun of all the time. So we ask, why does this happen? But yet we have to be, again, that believing, that trusting. So what can we expect God to do in different situations? Now, as mothers, I just want to say this as a little side note, little tangent here, that we need to trust God in our plans. Now, we may, as mothers, we may have problems with, you know, our kids. We may have had problems with our husbands. We may have had problems with whatever it may be, with our families, our households, different situations in life. And as mothers, I want to encourage you this morning to keep believing, keep trusting in God's plan. Now, whatever you are, whatever is happening, whatever has happened, that God has some sort of plan for you. Some sort of plan for your family, some sort of plan for your children. All right? It may not always what may appear to be good, but you got to trust and believe in God and everything that's happening. All right? To understand and then also appreciate, like we read over here, that Elkanah would always give her the best meat. You know, Hannah could have gotten, I don't know what to say. She could have, You know, she could have been very depressed about it, but she's got to remember the little facts here, too, that her husband is over here and trying to give her the best. Her husband almost, we could read into this and say that, felt bad for her, wanted the best, wanted to show that he loved her more. Even though you have no children, and in the Old Testament times, you're an embarrassment to the community, yet her husband didn't care if it was an embarrassment to him. He still loved her more. And we have to, as mothers, as wives, too, not we, because I'm not a mother or a wife, that'd be awkward, but we have to, you know, remember what our husbands are trying to do for us, or even our kids are trying to do for us. So look at all those little things, even though we have bad situations in our life. So let's keep moving on here. We go down to Samuel 1:9. And it says, once after sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out in great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your request that you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. And then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. And that's the key part right there. We're going to come on that. So here it was, part two, right? She was a praying woman, a prayful woman. She prayed and prayed and prayed, and she never gave up praying, right? She could have felt left out, helpless, hopeless, right? She could have felt let down by God, but yet she didn't. Why, God, have you given me no children, but given Elkanah, other wife, all these kids? But she didn't get down on that. She was discouraged. She felt sad. But yet, at the same time, she never gave up. She could have quit. She could have turned her back on God, right? Why haven't you done this for me? But she didn't. She kept going after God, right? In her, in pain, she kept going after God. And she kept making her request to God. Ask God. Was open and honest to God. And asked, just answer my prayer. And then when she asked to answer her prayer, she made a promise to God. And that promise that she would give him back to you. All right, God, I promise, if you give me a son right now, you just give me this one request that I will give him back to you, God, which is key. We'll come back on that. And then after praying, we look at her. After she got done praying here, that sadness was lifted up off of her. She no longer felt sad, it says right here, which is, that's huge. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. So here it is. Just by praying to God, she felt this weight lifted up off of her shoulders. No more worriness. Right? No more worries, no more pain, a trust in God's plan. We had just talked about that you have to have trust as a mother in God's plan. What's happening with your family, your lives, your children, your husbands, everything that's happening. So as a mother, going back to this mother, right? As a mother, just ask and just to say that we look at Hannah right here and how she prayed continuously. That through all the troubles, and this was a big trouble in her life. She wasn't even a mother yet at this point, right? But yet she never stopped praying. She kept praying and praying and praying and asking for God. And that's what we need to do, whether it's for our husbands, our kids, whatever we have, our family, the unity, whatever that we have, to keep praying for it. Any problems or pain or concerns that we have, and to put our trust in God. And now God doesn't always answer our prayers right away, but we have to trust in God's timing when those prayers are going to be answered. It's God's plan. It's God's timing. It's God's will that has to be done. We have to believe and trust in that. So keep praying. Part number two, keep praying. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Told you this is going to be a quick sermon. So here we go. Moving on here, 1 Samuel 19. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. So here it is. What did God do? God answered the prayer. He remembered Hannah praying and praying and praying to her. He has not forgotten about her because she never forgot about God. She kept trusting. She kept believing in God right here, right? Here it is, the ultimate supermom, right? So what's God do? God answers prayers. But he answers the prayers in his timing. He remembers us. He remembers our prayers as long as we don't turn our back and we don't quit on him. And she did not throughout this. So mothers, again, pray. Continuously pray. Be passionate. Be honest and open in your prayers. God knows what you're thinking, so just be open and honest. We read this in Psalms. When David was mad at God, he'd tell God, I'm mad at you. Why are you doing this to me, God? And yet God wants that openness. He wants to see us being honest and open with him. So mothers, as you pray for your kids, your husbands, your families, be open and honest with God. Tell them exactly what it is that you're feeling. Tell them exactly what it is that you need. God wants that openness because he knows anyhow. Now, if you have that open dialogue with him, he's going to be open and honest with you, and he's going to help you, right? Be thankful and trusting. 1 Samuel 1:24. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life, and they worship the Lord there. So here it is. Hannah keeps her promise with God. When she made that request to God and she said, Lord, if you give me a son, she specifically asked for a son. Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Now, that's almost kind of a little ironic, right? Give this to me, Lord. Give it, give it, give it. I want it, want it, want it. And as soon as I get it, I'm going to give it right back to you. That's what God wants in our lives. You know, that's what God wants to see. He wants to see the fact that, one, we keep our promises, and two, that we understand that everything that we have, everything that we receive, it belongs to God. And here it is. She showed that. So Hannah did not forget God. She sacrificed him, and she worshiped him. She went back. They sacrificed the bulls. And back then, they sacrificed. Nowadays, we call it worship, right? And that's what we do. We raise. We lift it up. We go after God for it, right? Gave her son back to the Lord, the one she wanted so bad. Because he belongs to the Lord. Now, Hannah followed through her promise. And now, that's something that we have to be careful of doing too. That when we make a promise to God, we have to follow through that promise. We can't say, if Hannah was over here, this would be a totally different story. And it wouldn't be in the Bible, probably. Actually, it could be in the Bible as a thing not to do, right? Because we look at the Bible, the theology of the Bible, all these things happen. God does stuff. So we may go back and look at it and see just how God acts, to see how God is, right? So here it is. If Hannah actually went in and made this promise or this request to God, and God, I promise to give him back to you. Now the boy is born, and now she's taking the boy. She's taking Samuel. I am not giving him back. I love this boy. I cherish this boy. He's mine. He's all mine. What's God going to react to like right there? God's going to look at it and say, wait a minute, you promised to me that you would give him back to me. Now you're going to keep him for yourself? How's God going to look at that situation? But yet, Hannah takes it and says, it's yours. I give him back to you. This is what I'm going to do. She follows through on her promise. And we have to make sure that we follow through on our promises. And mothers, all right, because we are talking about mothers here today, that when you make a promise, when you make a promise to your child, when you make a promise to your husband, that you take that promise, you take that commitment that you made, and you follow through that commitment, all right? Not only to God, we want to make sure, because he's all the powerful, mighty, right? He is a living God, but we have to do that with our kids too. Because if we make a promise to our kids and you don't follow through on that promise, how's that kid going to react the next time? Well, mom didn't follow through last time. Or even to our husbands, to your husbands, not our husbands, not mine. I couldn't be up here preaching. But if we, right, if you made a promise to your husband and you didn't follow through on that promise, how's he going to think the next time you run into that situation right there? So follow through on that, all right? So mothers, keep your promises, your commitments to God, to your children, to your husband. Give your son, your daughter away. Raise them up. You teach them. You train them. You tell them to wear their coat when it's cold. You tell them to eat their vegetables. But one day you take them. You don't have to stop telling them. But one day you have to take them and release them. Release them to their husband, you know. Release them to their wife, you know. And just let them go. Let them become adult. And that's your responsibility to raise them up in that way. And then first, I'm not going to read this right here, but if you look at 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, it's a prayer that Hannah makes. And she praises God for everything that she's done. Now here it is, a woman that was barren for many years of her life, right? And got taunted, got made fun of, got hurt. But yet she turns around, she still praises God. She never gave up. So praise God in all that happens in your life. In the good and the bad, remember God and praise God. So this morning, my challenge, I told you this is going to be quick. All right? quick and to the point. So my challenge this morning, for mothers out there, but this goes for fathers too. This goes for the male too, not just the female, but specifically mothers, because Mother's Day, and we are talking about Hannah, to be the ideal mother, as Hannah was, to be one that appreciates what you have and trust in God's plan. Whatever little that you have or whatever great that you have, appreciate and trust and believe in what you have. Number two, to pray continuously, to never give up. There's situations in your house. Don't pray once and expect. Keep praying. Keep going back. Bringing it back to the Lord. Be passionate, open, and honest about it, and then keep your promises with your kids. Lord, I ask you this morning that as we close out the service this morning, Lord, that this is short and sweet, but that this woman, which is such a short story in the Bible, but you taught us so much through Hannah and what she did, and then what Samuel became because one of her life, the mother, the upbringing that she brought on to her son, Lord, that you gave her. And Lord, I ask for each and every single mother here this morning, Lord, that they could just take a little bit here from what Hannah was, the ideal, the super mom here in the Bible, Lord, and that each one of them may become your will, your purpose, your plan that you have for each one of their lives and their families. Jesus' name, amen. So, short, sweet, you could be excited about that, or I don't know, what else? Take a flower, mothers, take a flower in the back. If there's extra ones left over, mothers-to-be, you could take one too. Mothers-to-be, if you want to just take one anyhow, go ahead, I don't care. Have a great day. It's a beautiful day out, and I hope all your husbands and kids are treating you well today.